Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text upon which we base the meditation is the gospel lesson we read before, especially the first half of that gospel lesson this morning. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how is your patience? Has God tested your patience enough so that we're ready to follow him in this life on this earth? My guess is that many of us were wondering when God was going to send us an answer to our prayers, when he was going to send us a pastor to lead us in a walk of faith and a walk of life with our Savior Jesus Christ. But as we know, in due time, God answers our prayers. And today a pastor is on his way to serve us and to lead us. And so we rejoice, we give thanks. But we need to remember that sometimes the distance between, so to speak, planting and harvesting seems to be very long. But God reminds us that we need to be patient. Patient and wait for him. Now our text for this morning kind of speaks of a similar situation. It's a situation that deals with the souls of men. A situation that also requires planting the seed and then waiting patiently for the Holy Spirit to bring about the harvest of souls. Now, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. It appears that this is his last trip to Jerusalem when he will be crucified and then later on ascend into heaven. And so our text tells us that he was going to be lifted up in Jerusalem. And so it's the time of the cross, the time of ascension that follows. But Jesus, you could tell by his walk and everything he did that he was going to Jerusalem. He wasn't going to be delayed for any long period of time along the way. And so he comes to this village of the Samaritans, taken, so to speak, the shortcut through the area of Samaria rather than going around as usually had been done. Now this village has heard about Jesus, the fame of Jesus, his miracles, his teachings, that have also gotten to them. But there's that other natural animosity between Jews and Samaritans that existed. Now, Jesus had traveled in Samaria before. He had performed miracles there before. He had taught the people there before. But this village, this one village, wasn't going to let Jesus stay there overnight. They were not going to be hospitable to him and to his followers, disciples that were with him. And so they said he could not stay there. That's the message that his disciples received, who had gone ahead to prepare a place for him and get things ready for Jesus to ride. Jesus was not welcome. And the reason they give was because his face was set towards Jerusalem. They could see he had other things on his mind. This one that claimed to be the promised Messiah was going to Jerusalem, the place where the Jews said you needed to go to worship God and sacrifice to God. The Samaritans felt the only place to worship God was on Mount Gerizim. And so that was the primary conflict between the two peoples, is where is the proper place to worship God? And they weren't willing, at least at this time, to let anyone who claimed to be the Jewish Messiah, especially when he is on his way to Jerusalem, to stay in their village for the night. They refused to listen to Jesus and to serve him. Now, we see James and John. James and John are very upset about this. They're very angry about it. They said, should we pray to God that God would send down fire from heaven and destroy this whole village? They were upset that they would not accommodate Jesus, that they wouldn't listen to him or serve him or worship him. And their anger is just. They had a right to be angry because Jesus was slighted, because these people were unwilling to listen to Jesus or to hear his word. And so they were ready to call down fire from heaven. They said, as Elijah did when the king of Israel had sent two captains at different times to him with 50 men to arrest him. But that's kind of a side of James and John that we usually overlook, don't we? We overlook that because we don't really think of James and John as being this angry type of people. But Jesus had given them a nickname. He had given them the nickname Sons of Thunder. And he called them Sons of Thunder because it appears James and John had a very quick anger. They were sort of hot-headed and very quick to blow their top when things didn't go their way. And especially, it seems, was that the case at this time when things and people did not accept Jesus as their Savior. Now, later on, we know the Apostle John is called the Apostle of Love. Later on, the book of Gospel of John, Revelations, and the three books of John, we see there a different kind of person, a person of love. He appears to be extremely patient in his older age, very forgiving, but he was not so in his younger years. Patience was very hard to come by, it appears, for James and John, especially if Jesus was being slighted. But there is a huge difference between what happened to Elijah and what happened here. In Elijah's case, the word of God had been taught by Elijah to these people several times. He had also had the, so to speak, challenge on a mountain between the Elijah and his God and the prophets of Baal as to which God could send fire from heaven to light the sacrifice on fire. And we know God sent fire from heaven to do that for Elijah's sacrifice, but the prophets of Baal could not do that because their God was not a God of life, but a God of death. And so there's a huge difference. They had been admonished, but they refused to repent of their sins and has tried to put Elijah to death in spite of that. But the Samaritans had not yet been instructed in the words of God. They had not yet had anyone make any special efforts to tell them about Jesus and the work of Jesus. They'd only heard it in passing. They'd only heard it from other people through rumors, so to speak, about Jesus. They knew him only by stories. And so the seed of God's word was just being planted as Jesus and his disciples were passing through. They'd just begun to hear that work. The will and desire to destroy them for their lack of faith was premature, it was hasty, as Jesus pointed out to them. Yes, God will destroy those who reject him, but he will wait for that last day to do that destruction. In the meantime, he says we need to be patient, patient. And he is also sort of angry at his own disciples. They should have known better. His disciples should have known that Jesus had come to seek and to save, not to destroy. James and John wanted to destroy, take the easy way out. Felt that anyone that refuses to accept Jesus, refuses to listen to him, he should be destroyed right away to make an example for others. They did not give them time and opportunity to change their heart and minds. And so they felt that they should be punished. But Jesus is patient. Jesus gives them that time. He's planted the seed. He's planted the seed of God's word in their heart. And now he wants the Holy Spirit to have time and opportunity to work in their hearts in order to bring those people to faith and trust in Jesus. He would come again to those people. But now for the evening, he goes on to another village. And so he shows us that we need to learn patience also. We cannot expect to harvest the same day that we plant the seed. And so while you and I might go and visit a neighbor, maybe it's a new neighbor, maybe it's someone that we know, or someone that we just feel is not involved with God and the church. And so we go there with the message of salvation. We go there to pray with them, to encourage them to worship God and their Savior. But they reject us. They don't want to listen to us. They don't have any time for that message of God's word that day that we come. But we leave a little message there. We leave a note that they should love Jesus and repent of their sins. We go and pray for them. And then we go to the next house. We go and visit another person to bring them the word of God. And then at time we go back to them again with the gospel and with the love of Jesus Christ. Maybe we return time after time to them. But God says, let us be patient. Let the Holy Spirit use the words that we give to enter their heart to create that faith in Jesus Christ. There will be a time for judgment. There will be a time for judgment when God returns to this earth at the last day. But until that time, Jesus came to seek and to save, not to destroy. He came that all men might have life. He came that we might be able to have that life abundant on this earth and worship him with peace and joy and thanksgiving. And so Jesus was very patient on the way to the cross. He was in no hurry to get there. He has time to heal the sick. Jesus has time to teach the brokenhearted. He has time and patience with those that refuse him. He has time to send them more messengers to bring them to repentance and salvation. And that's what happened in this case. After Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension into heaven, he sent his disciples out. And some of those disciples went back to that village in Samaria. And there they found a very welcome at that time, because many of that village repented and turned to Jesus. Many believed and were saved. They were saved, even though they had refused Jesus the first time. And the same thing is true today. The gospel still has that same power. It may be refused the first time or even the second time, but with patience and continued instruction and prayer, it will bear fruit. The time for work is now. The time for punishment will come when God returns to this earth. But in the meantime, you and I are to use all means that we have and the time that we have to bring men to faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Bring it about. The salvation of souls means that we need to be followers of Jesus. Followers who will sow that seed, who will teach the word, who will witness our faith and live that faith in our life. And so we can't be like the people in the last half of the text, people that were full of all sorts of excuses, that were too busy to spread the time with their Lord and with their Savior. Now, at first glance, when you read through the last half of the gospel lesson, it seems that those excuses the people gave, they kind of seem reasonable to us. But Jesus rejects all of them. And he rejects them because God and the love of God is not first in their life. Instead of the love of God being first in these people's life who refused to follow Jesus at that time, they had other people and other things of this world that came before God and seemed to be more important than spending time with God. And so let us pray that you and I would have patience, but that we would also put God first in our life, that we would find and make a way to worship him, to witness our faith, and so to follow him as our Savior each and every day. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue our worship by bringing our offerings to the Lord.